I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful we have this time together and this ordination. But what's a lot different about today than any other day, than any other Sunday? What attitude do we come to an ordination service with? What attitude do we come to a regular service with? What kind of attitude do we deal with our brethren whenever we're joyful or whenever we're in a fault? How do we have an attitude about us, about our daily lives, and just normal business? What attitude am I supposed to have when I preach? And what attitude do we approach that throne of grace? So I want to ask you these questions. I got four short points we'll look at in our text, and then I want to ask these questions again and answer them. And I hope it's clear. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll begin in verse 21. The title of my message is Three Ways That Sinners Approach the Lord. Matthew 15:21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word." That would hurt, wouldn't it? "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said," and he's speaking to the disciples here, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Many people have quoted this passage of Scripture, especially around Mother's Day, and it says, "A persistent mother. And she's finally getting the help she needed for her daughter." And if that's all you get out of it, you're not getting anything at all. How she approaches here, if I were to approach the Lord and He ignored me, I don't know how I would react to that. There's times I feel that that's happened to me. And if I approached the Lord and begged for help, and He told me, He said, "No, this is only for the saints. We wouldn't cast this to dogs." I'd probably just turn inside out and die right there. I don't know how I feel like that sometimes, but I know He hasn't left me. But there's three ways here that lady approached the Lord. I want us to look at them. First, when we approach Christ, we don't have a reason for Him to help us. She had a reason. She was indebting Him to herself. She was deserving of mercy in some way. She's asking for mercy. She was calling to Christ by His rightful office, "Thou son of David," but it was with a reason. She had an excuse. He needs to come do this. It says there in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." That sounds good, doesn't it? We looked at last time those four types of ground. This could very well be, if this was one person, not just the same person saying it, that rocky ground where it shoots up, and it looks good on the outside, but there's no root in the area you can't see. There's no work in the heart there. It sounds good, looks good, but it's not. How did the Lord answer? It said there in verse 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." She was asking them, "And my daughter's sick." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's not sent but unto the lost sheep. Larry Chris once said this. He may have got it from somebody else, but I got it from him, so that's okay. Said the modern world religion doesn't need to get saved. They need to get lost. That's where we need to be at. It's much like that Pharisee and the publican. Look over in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, there in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Lord said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. He was thanking the Lord, wasn't he? That I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. That Pharisee had a reason that the Lord should deal with him. He had several reasons, didn't he? And he prayed to himself. We are not to come to Christ on anything that we have done, any merit that we have. We have no merit. We don't come on the pride of race, what status in life we were born into, pride of face, what we look outwardly, or the pride of grace, what the Lord's already given us. I can't brag on any of those things. Those are what He's done. We have no merit to come with any reason that He should deal with us in our lives. Secondly, you can hold your place there in Luke 18, but we'll turn back to our text from Matthew 15. Secondly, this woman was approaching Christ needing help only. It says she worshipped. She came there where Christ was. She used the right titles, but she wanted help. She wasn't going to allow Him to do the whole thing. She needed a co-pilot, as they say nowadays, right? She was still able to do part of the work, but she just needed a little extra nudge. There in verse 25, it said, then she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, we do have need of Him. Scriptures say He is our help in time of trouble, isn't it? But that is a total encompassing help. That's true salvation, total salvation that He provides for us. It's not an assistance to us. He completely helps us. He makes us whole. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. We come by Christ and He saves us to the uttermost. Completely, doesn't He? At this point, she isn't mentioning her personal troubles anymore in this spot. She didn't say anything about her daughter. She says, Lord, help me, did she? Her worldly concerns have started to fade away. And she needs some partial help for herself. That, like we looked at in those types of grounds, that thorny ground, it shoots up. Got a little bit of, or appears to be a little bit of root. It shoots up a little taller, but it's choked out, isn't it? In verse 26, but He answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Lastly, we see here, she approaches Christ in a humble submission. And she approaches Him in truth. Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That's vastly different from the beginning. Lord, have mercy on me. Here's a reason. Or Lord, I just need help. Here she says, you're right, Lord. I'm a dog. I'm the lowest form. And what was the result of approaching the Lord that way? Look at verse 28. When Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That's a stark contrast from being completely ignored or being insulted to go away, isn't it? Let's look back there in Luke 18, verse 13. This is what that publican had to say. Luke 18, 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When we approach the Lord, we approach humbly. And that's a good example for us, a good precept for us to follow. And it's hard. How can you humble yourself? One guy said, I'm so humble, I recognize my one fault. That's how I feel most of the time. Something you can't make yourself be. You have to be made humble, don't you? So that's something we can't do. Like Clay was telling us last night, lay this stuff out. Here's what the Scriptures show us. Give us a good pattern how to do things. I can't do that. Who can? Christ can't he? He does it for me. Then it'll give me a heart to want to do it. So what about our Savior? Was He humble? Have you ever read the Psalms? Any of them? I picked one. I read through several of them. But Psalm 51 says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." He says, "Against thee," speaking to the Lord God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, said, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." How thankful we should be to our God that we are one with Christ. I can't explain that. I know it's so. I can tell people. There's so much argument, and it's a point that's vital, needs to be made, and so many contentions over Corinthians 5, where it says, "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That word sin has made Him sin. It's hamartia. It's offense. A fatal flaw. And people can understand that. They can agree. They don't pay attention. I'm not good at English. You all can hear that right now. But beginning of that, in parentheses, it says a noun. It's not a verb. It's not something that was done. It's a noun. Well, what else is a noun? "He hath been made Gwen. He hath been made Thomas." Is that how one we are with Him? We have to be, don't we? How would we approach someone like that? Would we come saying, "Well, I've done something," even though he has been made Kevin Thacker and took everything I deserve to give me His righteousness? What could I approach Him with? The reason that He should do that? No. Should I approach with a partial help? Should He help me kind of? Just a little bit to get me over the edge? No, we come humbly. "Lord, I'm a dog. Thank you. I'll be thankful for the crumbs." And what else? What will He say to you? Go your way. Everything you desired's been accomplished. What do we desire when that happens? Him. How do I know if I'm one of His sheep? What if I approach Christ the wrong way? How would I know these things? Is that something to worry about? Look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." What does that also sound like? Your warfare is over. Christ loves you and He died for you. There's no more battle to be fought. It's a whole lot more than breadcrumbs, isn't it? That's something special. So if we understand these things, we see those things, what attitude should we come to services with? We're owed something? No, we come looking to Christ, don't we? Humbly looking unto Him. How do we deal with our brethren? If our brethren offends us, if they're in error, how do we deal with that brethren? Do we scold them? No. We see what our Lord's done, and we humbly come to them and humbly look to Christ, point them to Christ, don't we? It's how we live our daily lives, and trials come. Do we act like the fool? As Job told his wife, he said, "You're acting like one of the foolish women." We know better, don't we? Lord sent that trial, and He sent the pain, but He's going to send the cure too, won't He? How should I stand here to preach to you? Should I come demanding of you? No, I just point you to Him. I just tell you the truth of what these scriptures say. How do we approach that throne of grace? Humbly looking to Christ. They won't be turned away. It'd be a good way to approach. And I pray that the Lord will keep us today humbly in submission. I marked that down. I forgot to, in my stuff, I moved to the pulpit. We just sang that blessed assurance. It says, perfect submission, all is at rest. It's a good way to be. I and my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. I pray that every one of us tonight, well, Clay's preaching, and when we get a fellowship in the back, I pray we're lost in the love of Christ. That's our conversation. I want to know nothing of among you save Christ and Him crucified. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I hope I don't get involved. I hope I'm invisible.